Rotary International, a world fellowship of business and professional men with a common ideal of service, presents the Rotary Golden Theater. More than 8,000 Rotary clubs in 89 countries throughout the world are celebrating the 50th anniversary of Rotary International, an organization fostering the ideal of service in personal, business, and community life, and working for the advancement of international understanding, goodwill, and peace through a world fellowship of business and professional men. In observance of its golden anniversary and as a public service, Rotary International brings you the Rotary Golden Theater. As we enter the Rotary Golden Theater, the bright lights blaze forth the title of the drama we are about to see. Let's get acquainted. We take our seats. The curtain rises on the attractive dining room in the home of Jim and Marge Davis. Jim is a youthful but highly successful manufacturing chemist.
Jim. You notice anything unusual about the flavor of the roast?
Well, it's excellent. Must have been marinated in an herb vinegar. There's a touch of mustard, too.
Oh, that's what I get for marrying a chemist. A chef can't have any secrets from you.
Well, I wish my work were half as easy. I simply can't get this new germ oil to show an affinity for the products we want to use it in. And I can't see why.
Oh, you'll find the answer. Why don't we go to the movies tonight? Getting away from germ oil would freshen your mind.
I'm sorry, Marge, but I have to whip this thing. I brought home some analyses, and I'll be lucky if I finish checking them by midnight.
All right, dear. Don't bring home any work tomorrow night.
Why not?
We're invited to the Albrights for dinner and a bridge session.
Oh, Marge, can't we skip it? I know you like the Albrights, but I'm so immersed in this germ oil problem that I wouldn't be much company, I'm afraid.
I'm sure you wouldn't.
What?
Oh, nothing, dear. Anything interesting outside the germ oil field happened to you today?
I guess not. Oh, yes, yes. A rather peculiar thing happened.
What?
I was invited to join the Middle City Rotary Club.
Why, I think that's wonderful.
I can't imagine why they'd invite me.
Well, you're the top chemist in this area.
Well, there aren't too many chemists in this area. And not more than three or four of those fellows could possibly be interested in my work.
Maybe they're interested in people, Jim.
What?
Human beings. You might not believe it, but people can be terribly interesting. Even chemists. And perhaps these men are interested in things outside their own immediate fields.
But I'm no glad hander. I'm an introvert.
And determined to stay an introvert, I guess.
Say, do I detect a note of bitterness?
You do, definitely. Do you think I married you because you're a top-flight chemist? Well, I didn't. You were a pretty grand guy.
And I'm not that anymore?
Well, do you realize how many friends you have in Middle City, Jim? Your two lab assistants.
Oh, now that's hardly fair. I know a good many people.
Do you? You're perfectly congenial when you go out in public. Everybody thinks very highly of you. You're a success in your business, and you've been extremely efficient on community activities that you considered civic responsibilities. You're courteous and friendly enough in public. But you simply haven't bothered to make any real friends.
But, Marge, my work takes up so much of my time.
Maybe your work takes up too much of your time. Did you turn down the invitation to join the Rotary Club?
Marge, I'm no joiner.
Did you turn down the invitation?
No, it didn't really give me much chance to give an immediate answer. It wanted me to think it over and let them know.
I think you should join.
But they said I'd be expected to attend meetings every week and to give time to club activities. Now, Walter Blair, the fellow who proposed my name, said I shouldn't give permission to publish my name to the membership of the club unless I'm ready, willing, and able to be a real member.
And you're not ready, willing, and able, is that it?
Well, it doesn't seem to me that I have time for
nonsense. You have time for anything you want to do. The plain truth, Jim, is that you don't want to be around people.
Well, honey, I didn't realize you were so unhappy. You know I'd do anything in the world for you.
All right, then. Do something for me that'll help you. Tell Walter Blair to go ahead and publish your name to the members of the Middle City Rotary Club.
Say, Jim, I know this is sort of putting the rush act on a new member, but the Rotary Club is putting on a series of career day talks at the high school, and quite a few of the youngsters are interested in chemistry.
Well, I've never been much of a public speaker.
These boys and girls don't want oratory. They want whatever information you can give them on chemistry as a career. How about it?
All right, I'll do the best I can.
Well, that's all we ask, Jim. Good boy.
Jim, you must be doing more talking at Rotary Club meetings than you ever thought you'd do.
Well, it is easy to visit with the fellas. And you do get a bit relaxed when everybody's calling you by your first name, but how do you know?
Who did you tell that tomorrow's your birthday?
Well, nobody that I know of. Why?
Well, a birthday card came today from one of your Rotary friends. Here.
But who? I'll be darned. It signed your Rotary friend X. No name, just X.
I wonder why he's so mysterious.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, wait a minute, I do know. They told me I'd get a friend X assignment in a few days. Each Rotarian is assigned to be friend X to another member without letting his identity be known. As friend X, you take a special interest in the member you're assigned to. But you mustn't let him know who you are till the end of the year.
Do all Rotary clubs have this friend X idea?
Oh, no, no. Each Rotary selects any idea it wishes to. This was something selected by the Middle City Club to develop acquaintance.
Oh, I see. Well, then, you won't know who sent that birthday card until next year, hmm?
Well, I will if I want to.
How?
A chemist is taught to be observant and analytical, my dear. I could find out by simple process of elimination and deduction.
What'll you bet?
Why, I know I could.
Remember that Van Gogh print you were drooling about?
Yeah.
I'll bet you that print against a new dress that you can't uncover your friend X inside of a month.
Oh, but of course I can. All right, it's a bet.
Shake hands on it. And I might warn you, I have my eye on a pretty special dress.
Oh, Dr. Heinrich.
Jim, it's good to see you.
Doctor, tell me, are you doing any chemical research?
No. With my practice as it is, I have no time for research.
Oh. Do you subscribe to any chemistry journals?
No. Why do you ask, Jim?
Oh, no reason. You wouldn't have had any way of knowing about my paper on atmospheric deterioration in synthetic fabrics, would you?
You wrote such a paper?
Yes, and I received a congratulatory letter from some friend who forgot to sign his name.
Well, I congratulate you too, Jim.
Jim, don't tell me you're a sidewalk engineer.
Oh, I was just waiting to get a chance to speak to you, Fred.
Well, this is going to be the most beautiful office building Middle City ever had.
Sure is.
Yeah, this construction job keeps me rather busy, but never too busy for a visit with a friend. What do you want to see me about? Something concerning Rotary?
In a way. Fred, does Rotary keep any record of wedding anniversaries?
Well, some clubs do, I guess, but we've never done it. Why?
Oh, nothing, really. It's just that... Well, somebody sent Marge and me a congratulatory letter on our anniversary, and I'd like to thank whoever it was. He forgot to sign his name.
Oh, hi, Jim.
Hi.
What brings you around on a busy day?
A favor, Walt. A conspiracy, maybe.
A conspiracy? Against whom?
My wife. You see, I have a bet with her that I can unmask the identity of my Rotary friend X.
Well, I wish you luck, Jim.
Oh, you mean you won't tell me who it is?
Why, I haven't the faintest idea of who your Rotary friend X is. That whole idea is handled by the Fellowship Committee. They keep it as top secret as some of the things you work on in your plant.
Well, then I guess you can't help me. Oh, you and Thelma are coming to our house for some bridge tonight. Now, don't mention this.
Not a word. See you tonight, then.
Oh, I forgot to tell you, Jim. Miss Ryan brought in the reports of the patch test and that germ oil.
Well, how were they, Charlie?
Not a single unfavorable reaction on 50 tests.
Good.
Don't you think it's safe to release the oil to the cosmetics industry in view of that?
We must make a few more tests, Charlie.
But it's costing you money every day you wait. That formula will be worth a fortune.
I hope so. But we haven't built this business by being irresponsible. Nothing that leaves this plant is going to hurt anyone.
I guess you're right. Is it my imagination or... do I smell smoke?
Hmm? This comes as close to being fireproof as a chemical plant can be. If you ever smell smoke in this plant, you better start running, fella. Say, it isn't your imagination. There is smoke.
Fire!
What was that?
I don't know. With all the chemicals stored around here, who knows? We better get out of this lab. The whole building will be a shambles in 5 or 10 minutes. Come on.
We can't go out there. That hall is the furnace. The fire escape. What? Oh, look at those windows on the lower floors. Flames are shooting out of them like blowtorches. We couldn't get past.
We've got to try, Charlie. It's our only chance. Come on.
Hi, Doc. How's Charlie? Did he make it all right?
Better than you, Jim.
Good. Was anyone else burned?
No. Thanks to the precautions you had taken. In an ordinary building, nobody could have escaped such an inferno alive. It is a miracle that there was so little injury.
Is there anything left of the building?
Oh, quite a lot.
Well, I hope somebody else can fix it up. I'm out of business.
You mean you let an accident discourage you?
I've been racing to keep up with orders, Doc. It'll be months before I could get the plant going again. By that time, I wouldn't have any business left.
There are some people waiting outside to see you. I was going to make them wait a while longer, but I think maybe it is better that they come in.
Fred Keenan and Walter Blair.
Hi, Jim.
What are you fellas doing here at the hospital?
Oh, we just wanted to tell you how things are going, Jim.
Oh?
I already have a crew cleaning up the debris. The reconstruction work won't be as difficult as you might think. Mostly it was chemicals and equipment that were destroyed.
Yeah, John Harris cleared out a few offices in his building, and your office force is setting up there. Bill Volney has volunteered the use of the old stone quarry building till you can get your own plant running again, Jim.
But I won't be able to afford...
A good part of your loss will be covered by your insurance, Jim. And Pete Small says the bank regards you as an A-number-one risk for all the money you'll need.
Now, we've contacted Rotarians in the same kind of business as yours in other parts of the country, and... Three of them have volunteered to fill emergency orders for you on a cost basis until you're back in production again.
Jim, the whole Middle City Rotary Club is standing by, waiting to do whatever they can to help.
And it's a mighty representative group, Jim. You'd have quite a time coming up with a problem one of the boys couldn't solve.
But this isn't their problem.
Well, a friend's problem is always our problem, Jim. Right at the beginning, Rotary was motivated by fellowship. Without fellowship, there wouldn't be any Rotary.
That's right, Jim. The first point in the object of Rotary is the development of acquaintance as an opportunity for service. All good Rotarians want to be of genuine service to the public in general. But nobody would be much of a Rotarian without wanting to be of special service to his friends.
You know, I hadn't realized the number of good friends I've made in the short time I've been in Rotary.
Well, you can count on us, Jim. Well, I guess we should clear out and let you get some rest. But we'll be back soon to keep you informed about what we're doing.
Thanks, fellas.
Okay, Jim.
I really don't know how to thank you. See you soon.
I think that was better medicine for you than anything else I could prescribe, Jim.
I'm sure it was, Doc.
May I come in?
Oh, that sounds like your wife, Jim.
Sure, come in, Marge.
You're looking better today than any time since the fire. My goodness, you look well enough to be leaving the hospital.
Oh, I feel wonderful. And, Marge, you and I have something to settle.
We do? What?
A bet. This is the last day of my month to give you the name of my special Rotary friend X.
Well, it really wouldn't be fair for me to collect from you. After all, you haven't been able to do much investigating for the past 3 or 4 days.
But the bet is not off. Doc, do you have your Rotary calendar of events in your pocket?
Certainly. Right here.
Thanks. You see this roster of members, Marge?
Well, yes, but which one?
Not which one, Marge. These are all my special Rotary friends, and X means unknown. Well, I never knew what good friends they were till now. So my special Rotary friend X is not one name, but many.
You know, I suppose I should protest. But I'm so happy to have you discovering so many friends that, well, you win. And Jim, you've won a lot more than a bet.
And so the curtain falls on the play Let's Get Acquainted, presented by the Rotary Golden Theater as a public service in commemoration of the 50th anniversary of Rotary International, a world fellowship of business and professional men with a common ideal of service.